line if they live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and it's articles of news for the week of the 3rd of October. It's me, Richie T, joined with Britt.
Yeah.
Britt, who doesn't join us very often here in articles of news. You have to go back a while. I don't even know when the last time you did one of these was.
It's probably back in May or April.
April, May?
Yeah.
Of this year.
Yeah.
So within the last 6 months, but certainly it's been a little while since we've had you. Good to have you here. What's new with you?
Let's see. Well, summer's winding down. Got some kayaking in. Went to Tahoe and Seattle. I'd never been there before. That was kind of cool.
You've never been to the city of Seattle before?
No, I drove up, and that is one heck of a long
drive from Salt Lake. Yeah. You get you have to go up through, like, Idaho, right? The boring part of Idaho to get to Seattle?
So Boise, and then, Idaho's probably more interesting than the eastern side of Washington and Oregon.
Right, because it's just sort of rolling hills. But do you do the Columbia River as part of the drive?
So that's
gorgeous. Yeah.
And then, once you get close to Seattle, it's amazing.
And Seattle itself, especially the sound, Puget Sound, is absolutely gorgeous.
The islands, Deception Pass, took the Bainbridge Ferry. And checked out the public market, the Space Needle,
Did you see the fish flying? Over at
maybe one, but I don't really care about that. But
it's kind of cool throwing 100-pound fish.
And I petted the brass pig,
Did you put the gum on the gum wall?
No, I missed that, but I don't really care about that.
No, it's gross.
I got a gajillion pictures of it.
Yeah, you walk by it and
I know. It's like, I think how much saliva is holding this wall up right now. So,
but what did you go up there for? Just fun?
Well, my aunt, my dad's sister is moving away from there. She's lived there for like 30 years, and I've never been to Oregon or Washington, so I needed to cross those off my list. So I'm like, I better go while they have that connection. My brother was going with all his kids, so I tagged along with them.
So you played. Cool. So you played Uncle Britt.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool because some of his kids are in their 20s, so it's like one of the last times they'll probably be able to go all.
Oh, cool.
Easily, anyway. So I went along with them, and it was funny because we took two cars up, and while we were driving around in Seattle, we all smushed into the minivan, and we had enough seats except for one, so one kid was like shoved in the back. It was pretty sweet. It was a nice little sacrifice made for me. So
that's cool. That's great.
I have my old holiday roll.
Do you remember doing that a lot as a kid?
Yeah, but it reminded me of my dad a lot. My brother, being the patriarch of his family, reminded me of being with my dad and the family on a road trip and how much I complained about stuff when I was a kid because the kids complained about stupid stuff. And they were playing Pokemon Go the whole time. They were like finding monsters in the water when you take the ferry.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it reminded me because you kind of just observe everything since I was like a second party almost. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember how we fought about where to eat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Complaining about like not being anything to do or and then like not looking out the window and you're in some amazing place.
Yeah. Guys, look out the window. No, there's a water Pokemon right now.
There's a what was it? The Magikarp, which I kept thinking they were saying magic carpet.
Yeah. You don't know what you can find. Why don't you go with me, little girl?
I love that. So
are you the cool uncle or are you the uncle that everyone's like?
I prefer the term funcle.
Yeah. Jeez. Jeez.
No, I think they like me a lot.
Do they talk to you? Do they confide?
Yeah.
Don't tell my dad, but.
Yeah. My nephew's 20, and he's not going to go on a mission, so he's talking to me about, like, his plans going into the Army and becoming a physician's assistant or something like that, and his just sort of his reason on why he's not going and stuff like that. So I was like, cool, it's your decision, man. So
yeah.
Got to do what you got to do. Maybe he'll come around one of these days.
How'd your brother about it?
Oh, I think I was thinking about this recently. Like, it seems like, I don't know, when we were that age, it seemed like it was sort of a given almost. You did have to make the decision.
But right.
It was a really high expectation, so I never questioned it. Nowadays, it seems like they're more objective about it, where the kids really do have to make the decision.
Right.
Because of all the, probably, like Rob's dad deals with all the mental
problems. DJ Rob's dad, yeah.
Yeah, that comes out of it. So you got to make sure a kid's ready to go and has the right intentions and then they're
And really is choosing to go.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of damage of doing something that you shouldn't.
Yeah,
or that you didn't choose to do. I mean,
some missionaries out there went because their dad was going to buy him a truck. I remember when I was on a mission.
Corvette was the thing for the guys I knew.
Well, these are the guys from like the backwoods.
Yeah. Truck.
Yeah. So
good though.
Yeah,
what's your favorite part of the trip?
I really like boats, man. So being on those ferries crossing the Puget Sound, that's cool. And then just, it's a different kind of scenery than we have in Utah, where like the foliage in this forest and ferns and all that, which is cool. And the oceans, I mean, it wasn't the ocean, it was the sound, but it's still just cool and interesting to be in a city like that. What I don't like about Seattle would be a way cool place to live, but big cities, man, it's like traffic.
Yeah.
You have to plan your whole day.
That traffic into Seattle especially is just terrible.
Yeah, and I've been to big cities before, and it sucks because you have like these small windows where you can go do things where you're just like, well, we can't go now for the next 3 hours because it's
just traffic. Right. Yep.
Now. So that kind of sucks, but.
You know, Mom has a house up in that part of Seattle, or up in that part of Washington, in the islands. Yeah, my mom does.
Oh, I think you were talking about that.
Yep.
So cool.
Up in the San Juan's Clan. So a couple hours out of Seattle, but
you could kayak there.
Yeah, absolutely, you could. In fact, we're gonna buy a couple kayaks and put them in the. Because she does like Vrbo or Airbnb when she's not there.
Yeah.
And there's a place that we can lock down that people can't get into.
I just signed up for Airbnb today, actually.
Really? Your house?
Well, just one of the rooms. I think.
Really?
Well, I figure it's ski season, so if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Because another guy wanted to move in, but he's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll try the Airbnb.
Yeah. So I don't have to some stabby Airbnb guest. Why not?
Yeah, you know. I can lock the partition between the floors and let the downstairs people deal with it.
When I went to Chicago, I did an Airbnb. Yeah. It was gorgeous. It was great. Cheap, about $50 cheaper every night than a hotel would have been in Chicago. It was nice. 7 minutes from Wrigley Field walking.
Nice.
It wasn't a great apartment, but that's like, what it was.
But it made it feel probably like you were living.
Yeah, it was like going home, yeah. Because I could cook a meal. I had a fridge. Had a shower.
Nice.
Had crap towels that they were great. Like these towels that they had been used just hundreds of times. And you're like, nah, all right. So this is what we're doing for towels? Cool. And then I had a bed. And the guy that I was staying with, he had a couch bed.
Ah,
so
that works.
So it was great.
A lot of people complain about the pullouts. And I'm like, those.
It was a futon. The pullouts are terrible.
It depends. Because I've had good experiences on.
Really?
On the hide-a beds, yeah.
What kind of good experiences have you had on it?
You know, I was folded into one as a kid, and my brothers like left me in there.
Shut up. That's not real.
Not like for like hours, but yeah, they would do.
Really?
Yeah, they would fold. It was fun to be folded up as long as you knew you were going to get pulled out.
Yeah. But that would be fun. But
they always do the thing where you're like, you get smushed in there, and it's fun, but then you start to get claustrophobic, and then
right.
You walk away. See ya, and you're like, yeah. No!
Oh, guys!
You like never trust your brother again
ever until you go out with his kids 20 years later and then you like, tell his kids
it took me this long to get over it, but you were a punk.
I'm trying to think of if I have anything that's been exciting that's been going on since the last time
trip.
So well, I talked about Chicago quite a bit, I think.
Oh,
I've decided that if the Cubs make the World Series, I'm going to go back to Chicago.
Yeah.
There's no way I'll get World Series tickets because I'm not a rich person. But
in Chicago.
Yeah, man. And yeah, especially if they're going to win it in Wrigley.
Yeah.
But I plan to go back out and be there.
Like go to the bar.
Yeah.
Sarsaparilla. Well.
Yeah. Can I get, what do they call them? Iron port. Can I get an iron port?
That's right. It sounds like a hard drink, but it's
not. No, it's not. but no, just be there in Chicago. I'm trying to think of, this last weekend, have you ever been up to Pineview here in Utah?
Yeah I've come there before.
It's up in the Eden Valley.
Mm-hmm.
If you are from somewhere else and you normally go to Park City, or you normally go to like the bigger Little Cottonwood areas to go skiing, I encourage you to check it out. The Eden Valley, you got what? Snow Basin is up there, and
for the first time last.
And Powder Mountain. And it's the backside of Ogden.
Yeah.
So it's about 45 minutes north of Salt Lake City, maybe? About 45 minutes to an hour.
I'd say an hour.
Just gorgeous, not super like popular. Like it's popular, but it's not like Park City popular and some of the other stuff.
Sure.
Nice and quiet and gorgeous. It's not like other parts of Utah. It's sort of like maybe Sweden-esque.
Yeah,
well, I guess
like, the difference is like Snow Basin's really ritzy because the same people own the Grand America that we're looking at.
Which is a huge hotel here in Utah. Here in Salt Lake,
nice and sort of like posh, but it's not crowded. And then Powder Mountain's like throwback, where it's like it feels like the 80s or the 70s there.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is you park at the top of the mountain when you go there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like you, the summit, there's like a parking lot next to it.
Oh, I guess I've never done that.
To the bottom, and then the lifts take you up.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It's a different feel. It feels like I go to Alta the most, which is a pretty throwback feel too, but not nearly as like.
So Powder Mountain feels older than Alta because
they don't have that many high speed lifts either. They're all sort of the fixed slow moving lifts.
Yeah, because Alta, like I felt like with wood lockers and stuff like that, you kind of go in and you're like, what century or am I in?
More and more updated, but they're
sure
maintaining the feel. But Powder Mountain doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like you're in like a ski movie or something.
Cool. '80s, yeah. That's great.
Big time.
So I went up there and stayed. It was great.
Yeah.
Did some work at Snow Basin for their weekend. They did a beer fest. And who better to be the MC of a beer fest than a guy who doesn't drink beer?
Didn't you do that a few months ago, too?
They did. I did their last day of the ski season, which was pond skimming up at Snow Basin.
Right. Yeah.
That was back in March. So, that was basically it. Just worked, watched a little conference. I went to a priesthood session of conference with my brother.
Downtown?
Yeah. Nah. Parking downtown during general conference is a fool's errand.
Yeah, you
from beginning to end.
You should have taken tracks.
Should have taken the public transit, any kind. Or even like Ubered would have been better to not have to bother trying to parking my car.
Get to one of those bars and take the bike taxi thing.
Yeah, the bike taxi or even one of these like rental bikes that you can get downtown. Anything would have been better than the way that I tried to do it, which was drive by myself and park my car.
Where did you go? Like the conference center parking?
No, I just went around there and ultimately what I did is I called a friend and was like, hey, come get my car. And then take my car, and I'll come get it from you later. And
I'll buy you food or something.
Yeah. It was great. So that was that. And then...
throw a thought out there.
Please.
So on the Facebook, I'm involved with these single adult groups, you know?
Yeah. And the LDS mid-singles,
often,
right?
Often, like once a week at least, somebody's posts, hey, I'm flying in this day or I'm flying out this day. Can somebody give me a ride at like 12:30 in the morning?
Right.
I'll buy you dinner. And I'm just like... There's something called Lyft and Uber, dude.
Right.
Which is going to be cheaper than, first of all, making somebody come out and do it, for one, and then buying them dinner and paying for gas.
Right.
I don't understand why people think it's like you have to, like for friends, it's like, great, yeah.
Sure.
It's a favor, but like.
How often would you say it does, happens?
Like once a week.
Yeah, you know what I'd do?
I just want to type just Uber or Lyft.
You know what I would do if I were you? Find out how much it costs to do Uber or Lyft.
It's like $20. I did it in the spring. I took a Lyft.
Yeah.
Because my work was paying for it.
Yeah, so then what you do is you say, you bet, $30.
$30, yeah.
$30?
I know.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy me dinner.
Just give me $30.
$30, but at mid 12:30 with some weird guy.
Yeah. So. But you know what I'm saying? Start making a little side scratch. You bet I'll do it. And you really do it, right? Mm-hmm. And you're doing a service because then they don't have to worry about it. They, you know, it's taken care of.
Work my way up to that medallion.
Stupid. Anything else new? Should we take a break?
Yeah. Well, I went to Tahoe. That was sweet. And I didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about Tahoe.
Yeah, Tahoe. Cool place. Yeah. Have you been there, Richie?
I have. Yeah. I haven't been. I've never been. You've invited me to go kayaking with you there before. I performed there once in college with a singing and dancing group at one of the casinos or something.
Sure. Oh.
Yeah, it was miserable.
Yeah.
Literally no one came to our show. The person who organized it was there.
What year was that?
And no one else. It was spring of 2000 or winter of 2005.
Oh, winter too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I think the casinos have sort of lost their luster over the years. They're still pretty big, but I don't think very many.
I can't remember where we were, but like I say, South Shore, but there was like a small sort of strip mall-y thing.
Yeah, for the ski resort?
Yeah, like, or by the ski resort where it was just a bunch of little shops and stuff like that.
Or something.
It was great.
Yeah, it's cool. I was there, did a lot of kayaking, a lot of swimming. I kayaked 10 miles one day along the shore, which is pretty cool too.
How do you know how you do that? Your phone?
Yeah, I tracked it with a hiking tracker.
Okay.
And then I did this one where you kayak into Emerald Bay where there's this island and hike to the top of the island where there's like a little tea house. Actually, DJ Rob and I did that once too. He hated it because it was rough.
Yeah. rough water.
Yeah, and he had a crappy kayak, and he was pissed off at me for...
Yeah, for putting him in the...
He's like, this is great!
This will be so much fun!
So, yeah, it was good times. And if you go there, you got to swim in the deep, clear waters because I put on a snorkel and swim around. And oh,
you have any good pictures?
I do.
Will you share a couple with us?
Yeah.
Maybe share a couple. We'll put them on Facebook and Instagram so people can check it out. You can follow us at the Cultural Hall so you can see. Get maybe one of the island.
Yeah.
And then maybe one of the water or something.
Oh, yeah.
Another one you got?
And the tea house in the window of it. So.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. We'll check that out at the Cultural Hall on Instagram and Facebook. Maybe do it on the Twitter as well so you can see what Britt is talking about. Let's take a break. Kind of a lighter week in news because of General Conference, but we'll hit some of the greatest things from General Conference, 15 highlights, and...
Yes.
Because I like lists, 10 great alternatives to CTR rings. That's coming up.
Ooh,
plus, we're going to talk about the leaked videos. We're going to talk a little bit about ordained women.
And what we're going to do about it, right?
Yeah, and what we are going to do about this.
Our videos.
And some previous guests here in the Cultural Hall, what they're doing now. Really? So that's kind of exciting.
Right now.
Yeah.
Behind the music.
Come back and talk about that in the second half of Articles of News.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I want to thank you for the help you gave my mom with her computer. She's gone from being frustrated to fascinated. I'm not overjoyed, though, that every picture of me that she has is now on Facebook. But she loves the computer and is happier than I've seen her in her whole life because of your team. You guys are the best. Signed, Happy. Dear Happy, in our company training meetings, we always teach everyone to treat every customer like they're your mom. At PC Laptops, we'll hold your hand every step of the way. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $799 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops location. $799? You can't beat that. While supplies last, quantities are highly limited. Please visit us at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. I know you'll be happy too. Hey, Ma!
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News. Go ahead and hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
All right, I will go ahead and start, and I always like to start with lists.
Lists.
So here we go.
We got lots and lots of lists.
Lists. Thank you, little Letterman. Jeez. This is a sponsored post, but I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. The folks over at LDS Daily, who also own the LDSBookstore.com.
Ah, yes. Place I always never shop.
I always have never been there. So it talks about and has... 10 different things. Totally visual, so you got to go to theculturalhall.com. Ah. But I will mention this, and I've never seen these before. It's got like a necklace that's just the shield that doesn't say CTR, but it's very iconically the shield, right?
Did you see what the Swiss was?
Yeah, it's 10 alternatives to CTR rings. Yeah. Maybe I didn't say that.
That's why I'm like.
Then another one is like, you know. It's like CTR, and it's just like the regular letters on a charm bracelet, right? And then you got like...
So it's an alternative to a ring, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Symbolism. Oh, okay.
So it still says choose the right, but it's just not your typical ring. One of those bar necklaces, the flat bars that the ladies are wearing,
oh, yeah.
That has the writing on it, says choose the right. That's kind of cool. I have no idea what this thing is, but it says CTR. There's like a bejewel, or what's the where you no like where you do a bunch of the stones like ladies make it at their house all the time. There's that kind of thing. There's the tie clip, the CTR tie clip.
For those pilots out there.
there's the choose the right dog tags, right? Yeah. But here's one that I actually think is sort of cool.
Oh, let's hear it.
CTR cufflinks. Whoa. It says choose the right.
For those black tie church events.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool. I've never seen them before.
That's actually kind of cool idea.
Who doesn't look good in some cufflinks, right?
Are they the shield?
No, it just says choose the right.
Interesting. Because the shield trademarked probably after that whole Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, it probably is. It's a little trademarked. So you can find those. Go by LDS Daily or go to theculturalhall.com. I'll have that linked at our thing there. And then this. From our friend Jen Reese over at Religion News Service. This is 15 highlights from General Conference. Did you observe anything from the General Conference? Either online or actually at the watching of conference?
No, I didn't get to watch too much because I'm a Ute fan, and then the game fell during the priesthood session.
Right.
And then Sunday I went on a hike, and haven't caught up yet. So,
you know what?
I came to do this.
You know what? And you know what's nice though is that you get the opportunity to, if you want a podcast, conference, they make it so easy. You download the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You can also they give you the option of downloading it without the songs and prayers, It's just the talks, and then you can do individual talks.
On the flip side, can you take out the talks and just listen to the songs and prayers?
No, I don't think so.
NFL zone or whatever.
although here's the thing, and we'll do this again next General Conference. If you go to theculturalhall.com, you can see the 100 word wrap ups of General Conference that Connor did. And then also that if you do the Twitter wrap-ups of each of the sessions that Matthew did, both of those are available at theculturalhall.com. It actually gives you a pretty good idea of General Conference. If for whatever reason you weren't able to catch it, you can see it. Some of my favorites were there was one guy who spoke who looked like Dwight Schrute, and people just couldn't get past it. There was an Elder Schmutz. Then you give it up as far as that goes. And then the whole thing with Dieter F. Uchtdorf and, the Silver Fox and Diet Soda. And that's been all over the place as well.
See those memes out there.
So. The Diet Coke. And then to the credit of people who have left the church, the meme, because Elder M. Russell Ballard's whole talk was, if you leave the church, where will you go? Yeah. People who have made the memes that are like, where will you go is the top with Elder Ballard, and then underneath it is like Starbucks, and then there's another one that's like, where will you go? Brunch. Where will you go? Denny's. Where will you go? Hiking. Whatever the thing is.
Here in Salt Lake, the people who don't go to Mormon church go to church at Blue Plate Diner.
Yeah, exactly. So there's been a bunch of memes as far as those things go, so that's sort of funny. So this, according to Jana Reese, there are 15 highlights from General Conference, and I'll give you the day when they took place.
Okay.
Number one, the first presidency seats are now located on the other side of the podium to make it a shorter distance for them when they come in.
So they switched the home and visiting teams and benches?
Yeah, essentially.
Oh, okay.
She suspects that it has a lot to do with trying to help President Monson, who every time he got up, he had someone helping him and someone who sat right behind him. What? Literally right behind him.
Well, that's sort of a quintessential part of conferences of people to speculate about the prophet's health.
Yeah.
He's not looking too good.
Well, and then you get the comment where it's like, well, maybe his last conference. You get that every time.
That's what I mean. It's like everybody likes to speculate. And it's like, I think he'll be around for as long as he's going to be around. And then die suddenly, and we'll be like, oh, well, he was 90 whatever. So
yeah, 89 technically, but I get what you're saying.
It's in the 90s.
So. Yeah.
Last few have been, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, President Hinckley was in the 90s, and then
Hunter was, wasn't
President
he?
Hunter was in his 90s, and President Benson was late 80s, if not 90s.
Yeah.
Then number two, this is from Saturday as well. Many people's favorite moment occurred right at the beginning with President Uchtdorf, the opening speaker, describing his struggles years ago and learning the, quote, strange, mystifying, incomprehensible world of personal computing. He acknowledged that his struggle was overcome only with hope, faith, and that many liters of a diet soda that shall remain nameless. The Mormon internet blew up with the fun Dieter Coke.
Yeah.
If you've seen the Diet Coke, well, Dieter Coke.
Was it dirty? That's the question.
Yeah. And was it trademarked? number three, Jana says, here's what was not said during Saturday's sessions. Nothing on traditional marriage. Not a single peep. Nothing explicit on religious liberty, which has been a total watchword recently among church leaders, and not a peep about the upcoming U.S. elections, though, she says, I had to wonder about some subtext of some talks. Number four, Helen Keller may be the first and last radical socialist to receive sustained positive play at LDS General Conference. Elder Christofferson's talk went on at great length about Keller's inspiring story of triumphing over adversity. Number five, the Book of Mormon figured prominently on Saturday. It's not like this, it's earth-shattering, but in general, except for Ezra Taft Benson in the 1980s, the Book of Mormon has actually not featured much in General Conference in recent years. So to hear it referenced so often, and in the case of Elder Gary E. Stevenson, be the entire focus of his talk, it's a little unusual.
Did he say it like Benson did?
Number six, is unconditional love really the best term for God's love? Elder Christofferson suggested that better terms might be perfect love or redeeming love, lest we misunderstand and imagine that we can sin without paying a price. The term unconditional love appears nowhere in Scripture, and that's true, but I wonder if it would have been more pastoral to frame this in a way that made it clear that God's love is unconditional, but that some of his promises are not, she writes. The phrase may not appear in Scripture, but the idea certainly does. Otherwise, why would we say that Christ saved us, yet we are all sinners?
Yeah, well, I thought the passage about unconditional love was right next to the one about never said it would be easy.
Yeah, it would, but it would be worth it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
what it's right. It's the next, I think it's the next verse.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Elder Cook's talk taught that looking beyond the mark is a stumbling block, and he mentioned some examples of gospel extremism in which one elevates any gospel principle above other equally important principles and takes a position that is beyond or contrary to the teachings of church leaders. One example is when advocates for additions, changes, or primary emphasis to one part of the word of wisdom. Another is expensive preparation for end days scenarios. So talking about those extreme prepper folks, talking about the people who get really, really crazy about the word of wisdom.
I don't like that.
Lots of folks on Twitter speculated about what he meant regarding the word of wisdom. Maybe vegans, maybe anti-vaxxers, practitioners of essential oils, maybe?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of subscribers to the gospel of, well, maybe I shouldn't say companies, but down south.
Yeah, but to the companies of multi-level marketing oils.
Yeah.
Prayer was a major theme. This is number nine, including a talk by President Carol F. McConkie, or if you followed us on Twitter, we got that wrong. No big deal, though. We got it corrected.
Yeah.
Of the Young Women Presidency, explaining why we pray to the Father in the name of the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number 10, this is from the priesthood session. Elder Holland, this was the only time that he spoke was during priesthood. He spoke first and seemed to offer a bit of a game changer about home teaching. He says, quote, please, in newer, better way, see yourselves as emissaries of the Lord to his children. No more frantic, it's the 31st of the month, scramble to get over to your assigned families.
Yeah.
He says, no more frantic, it's the 31st of the month, scramble to get over to your assigned families' homes to read them a lesson that they've already read for themselves. Rather, he said, home teachers need to love and watch over each member of those families in any way that helps. Rather than focusing on what counts for home teaching, he said, everything counts. So he said, report it all.
Yeah, they made that instructional movie, The Home Teachers, right? It was super hilarious.
Big, with the deer. Do you remember the deer?
Deer's on his head, and he drives the car off a cliff.
These will go quick, but this is from Sunday session. President Monson addressed the congregation for just 4.5 minutes, which is about a third of the length that his usual conference talk is. He looked frail, but the talk was moving. And could we all just follow the prophet in this way by making every single church talk from conference down to sacrament meeting under 5 minutes long? Thanks.
Yes. Was that a priesthood session?
No, that was Sunday morning.
But
he did speak super short in priesthood session as well.
Here's something I thought I heard develop. Is priesthood session purposely going to be an hour and a half now?
I don't know, but it got out, 7:30 instead of 8 o'clock.
Somebody told me that they're going to start doing that, and I don't know where to confirm that, but that's not a bad idea.
My suspicion will be that it'll be as long as they need it to be, because it would have gone much longer if the prophet would have spoken longer, but his health is not great.
He would compensate by throwing in another 70 at the beginning or something like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, they got the point across.
I like it, because, I mean, especially before you could watch it at home, the last half was the best half, and the first half, you're like, wait till the rest him, you know?
The seventh inning stretch is what I like to call the rest him. Get up! And a one, and a two, and a three. Number two from Sunday. Don't worry, there's only three more.
I'm loving it, man.
Nelson followed President Monson with a talk that didn't begin in a particularly joyful way. It was an apocalyptic reminder that these are the latter days, that tragedies and travesties are on the rise, and that ancient prophets foresaw that perilous times would come, and that in our day the whole world would be in commotion, that men would be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and that many would become servants of Satan. Elder Nelson highlighted war, terrorism, corruption as the defining features of our age. What can help us? Joy, he said. Quoting one of my favorite scriptures, according to Jana Reese, said, Elder Nelson quoted two of my favorite scriptures. One is, men are that they might have joy. And Christ, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. To show that despite all the problems of our age, we too can have joy. Well, this talk began in a dark place. She says, I appreciated the realism of him pointing to the problems of the world while also insisting that saints can feel joy even on a bad day.
Yeah, that's good.
And so it's a good URL to copy. Get that talk from LDS.org. So whenever anyone vague books about how terrible their day is on Facebook, just copy, paste, move along.
Joy to the world.
Number three, the LDS, the hashtag LDSConf. Ranked third on Twitter during the weekend session.
Wow. Trending.
Number four, Elder Ballard's talk contained a veiled blogger-knuckle smackdown. He said, we should avoid whatever things distract us from joy, and held up the example of Korihor. Anything that opposes Christ or his doctrine will interrupt our joy. That includes the philosophies of men so abundant and in the blogosphere, which do exactly what Korihor did. And then number five, hopefully that's not us here in the cultural hall.
Delete your account.
Speaking of Elder Ballard, there was some pushback to his remarks to Latter-day Saints who are troubled by certain doctrines or policies of the church. Quote, to whom shall you go, he asked. If you choose to become inactive or leave the restored Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where will you go? What will you do? The decision to walk no more with the church members and the Lord's chosen leaders will have a long-term impact that cannot always be seen right now. There may be some doctrine, some policy, some bit of history that puts you at odds with your faith, and you may feel that the only way to resolve that inner turmoil right now is to walk no more with the saints. If you live as long as I do, he said, you will come to know that the things have a way of resolving themselves. An inspired insight, a revelation may shed new light and insight on the issue. But remember that the restoration is not an event. It continues to unfold. And then she gives her commentary that says, I hope the subtext of this remark was that we're going to change that hurtful policy about LGBT members and their children.
Yeah.
Well, so
that's
you can find that at theculturalhall.com. And a huge thanks to Jana Reese for what she does over at Flunking Sainthood. Yeah. What do you got? You've got a couple of stories. Give me one of them.
I just had a basic rundown of the conference. Should I do that one since you just gave the whole list?
Let's do the sports one. Let's do the what's up with Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer Fredette. So he is known for making his big shots during his time as a player at BYU. We all remember that. He drained those threes from half court and beyond, you know. Quite a highlight reel he has. But, you know, in the NBA, he didn't pan out as much as some people.
He went to the Kings, and then he went to, like...
bounced around a little bit. I forgot the other
team. Like two or three other teams besides that, right? Just a couple game contracts on some...
Yeah, I'm not a big sports analyst, but I would say he just never got put in a situation where he could get a lot of play time.
So. A lot of thriving. Plus, he didn't do that good when he did play, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, at least he's got enough, you know. He swallows his pride and goes to play overseas, and he's doing fine. So the Shanghai Sharks, who he's playing for now, did an exhibition game against Houston. And
the Houston Rockets?
Houston Rockets.
Okay.
Yeah. Right before the third quarter ended, he hit a buzzer beater from beyond half court.
Just like he used to.
Signature style. So he finished the night with 37 points, 8 assists, and 8 rebounds, and those are not too bad statistics, in 42 minutes. And the Sharks fell to the Rockets 131-94. So a lot of points were scored in that game, but I'm guessing Jimmer was probably the most talented guy on the Sharks, which is supported by...
It's the Shanghai Sharks.
By the Shanghai Sharks.
You know what's cool about whenever they play teams, right?
What's that?
One guy runs out on the course, or on the court,
uh-huh.
and goes...
What is that?
It's a big inside joke with me and about 5 other people who will appreciate it.
The podcast.
Yep. Yeah, I hope so.
I thought that was like something with Jaws or something.
Nope.
I don't remember that.
Nope. Nope. And I'm not going to explain it because the people that get that joke right now are loving it.
To me, it sounded like when Gandalf whistles for his horse Shadowfax.
Nope.
Lord of the Rings.
Nope. Nope. Anyway. All right. Let me share with you a couple news stories. Okay. Have you heard of the band? Where are they? Tartar Control? We've talked about them here in the Cultural Hall.
No, I've heard of the toothpaste that has that.
Yeah. They recorded their first album back in 2011. They're going to be performing at the House of Rock, which is in, give me a second.
Like it's made of rock, or they play rock there?
No, it's like House of Rock, like, I'll find out where this is. Anyway, these two guys.
Can't miss it. Big sign that says House.
They are... I'm pretty sure they're former Mormons because as I read this article, it talks about how they moved from Salt Lake City to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. They still wear their hearts on their short sleeve shirts. They wear black ties and missionary name tags. On stage, you'll see them shifting gears between wide-eyed patter and high-octane hardcore anthems while their robot accompanist sputters out bass and drum parts. The loose-limbed Pee Wee Herman-esque Sealander, one of the guys in the band, throws himself around the stage and into the mosh pit, dropping his voice several octaves and growling songs about Jesus, forgiveness, and Pokemon.
All right, my 3 favorite things.
But I seem to remember. Really, those are your 3 favorite things?
Coincidentally, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. I had no idea.
Told anyone that either.
No, I. Geez, thanks for sharing that with us. Is it a put on? And I want to say, like it's pretty hardcore and languagey. Tartar Control, this band, right? So I don't think that they're active. I think that the bit is that they're active LDS guys, so that you kind of go, oh man, these guys are. But I don't think they really are.
Not, but they show some respect, maybe. I don't know, like for the source material. On some level.
I think that it's all tongue in cheek, and even in this interview, when I shared it at the Cultural Hall Facebook page, I think even when they do the interview, they're kind of like, oh yeah, you bet we do, yeah we're there every Sunday. I think it's that kind of thing. I don't think they're in it at all.
Don't miss a Sunday school or
right?
or priesthood.
Tartar Control. So you can check that out. This is interesting. We've talked about this a little bit, but now these folks are involved with it. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro earlier in the week regarding the imprisonment of Josh Holt. You remember who Josh Holt is?
The guy stuck down there.
Yeah, they put him in jail on suspicion of treason. He's a former missionary, or not treason, espionage.
Wow.
Being a spy. And some weapons offenses.
place you want to be for those kind of jobs.
No, you do not want to be in Venezuela. Vice President Biden, also involved, reassured Orrin Hatch that he personally would continue to do everything in his power to get Josh Holt soon home as soon as possible.
Just right after the election, though, right?
Yeah, we just got some other things. Yeah. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives passed House Resolution 851, which was co-sponsored by Mia Love, who is a Mormon, a former guest here at the Cultural Hall, and from Utah, called for the release of political prisoners in the country, including Josh Holt. Quote from Mia Love, "It breaks my heart to see Josh Holt held as a political prisoner and denied a fair hearing for so long." Holt, who is from Riverton, out by where I used to live, he's been in jail since June 30th after authorities said that he was stockpiling weapons in his wife's apartment in Caracas. He had flown down there on June 11th and married his fiancée, Teresa Calino, who is from there. On June 16th, the two had met online. A hearing was slated for September 15th, where a judge could have released Holt, but the judge did not appear for the hearing.
That's sort of the opposite of what.
Sorry, guys, it wasn't there. Yeah. And Orrin Hatch, Mormon and senator from the state of Utah, said, "We will see Josh be released."
Well, let this be a lesson to you elders out there. Make sure you lock your hearts because, you know, if you get in a situation.
Yeah, you might end up in jail.
Marry a girl from your foreign country mission.
Now, you've spent a lot of time in the Tetons. Where's that? That's Jackson Hole, right?
Yeah, just north of here, about 5 hours. Star Valley, where the new temple is,
which is in open house form right now. I've seen a couple of people who are friends or fans of the Cultural Hall on Facebook share photos.
Yeah,
from there.
Really pretty area.
Did you know that iconic barn that's right there,
Mormon Row?
It's on Mormon Row. I didn't know that. So you knew this already?
Yeah. Well, I was a guide there, so I know a lot of little things.
So, Mormon Row is one of the most historic places in Grand Teton National Park. Mm-hmm. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or Mormons, established the area in the late 1800s. The settlers moved into the area from nearby Idaho. They became farmers. They built water systems, which led to their great success in farming. On Mormon Row sits two picturesque barns. Homesteaders and brothers John and Thomas Alma Moulton built them in 1913. The barns sit in a field with a clear view of the Teton Range. Beyond the barns, there are many other historical homesteads to explore. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the most famous pictures of the Tetons have those barns in them.
So. Yep, and built by Mormons.
Built by Mormons.
The Moultons.
Yeah.
What other things do you have?
I got an interesting anecdote from a brother, Steve Young. So apparently he just came out with a new book, and he shares a story about when an official during a game was trying to set him up with his daughter.
Okay.
So I'll just read from what it says. He says, "Even on the field, I can't escape the craziness. We play the Colts at home. Partway through the second quarter, I'm in a huddle when the head referee taps me on the shoulder. 'Can I talk to you for a second?' he says. I step away from the huddle. 'Hey, listen, my daughter's going to BYU,' he whispers. Next thing I know, he starts trying to convince me that I should meet his daughter. 'I'd like you to take her out,' he says."
Oh, jeez.
So yeah, Steve continues and says, "I cannot believe this. We're in the middle of a game. Okay, I say. What's her name?' And he tells me, and I return to the huddle. Late in the game, we're down 31-23, and I'm trying to mount a comeback. I scramble out of the pocket and take a brutal hit. It causes me to fumble just before the whistle blows to stop the play. I'm lying on the ground when the defense recovers the loose ball, all but sealing our defeat. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a yellow flag lands next to me. The referee, whose daughter is headed to BYU, calls a personal foul on the defense. 'First down, Tampa Bay!' I get up and brush myself off. Then the ref walks past me and whispers, 'She likes Italian food.'"
That's not real.
It's in his book.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
You know. You think it's real?
I believe it, yeah. It's like trying to set his daughter up with Steve Young.
Did you ever, when you were on your mission, did you ever have members try and set you up with their daughters? Yeah, kind of.
No, I don't think that happened to me. I mean, certainly there were the girls like being around the missionaries, but they usually like the smaller missionaries than me.
Yeah, because you're a big guy.
Yeah.
And you served in Brazil?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Brazilian women typically are fairly small, yeah?
Blonde, I guess, on my mission, but they like the more surfer guy-looking dudes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they all liked me because I was funny, but like, yeah.
They weren't there. It was interesting serving in Cleveland how, because it was stateside, how some of these moms would really, you know, she's going to be at BYU in the fall.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
that's where all the mating rituals go down.
And I actually went out on a date with one.
Did you?
For my mission, yeah.
There you go.
It was fun. I had a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. We went out a couple times, then she got married, then she got divorced, and I was like, hey! Nope, she got married again.
Oh,
I know.
It's a shame.
It's all right. I don't need it.
No, I hear you.
Can't
live with them. Pass the beer nuts.
Yeah, right?
Oh, sorry.
You're fine. Just changing it up a little bit. Let's talk about these folks. Former guests, I think it was episode 52 here of the Cultural Hall. We talked to the folks from Real Intimacy. They wrote a book. Kristen Hodson. She's been on a couple other episodes with us. She was on the postpartum. Yeah, Mormon Sex Girls. She was part of the postpartum episode that we did a couple months back with Lindsay, Throw Your Hands Up in the Ayerts. But there is now a center here in the state of Utah for Mormon couples to talk about sex. Let me find. Let's see. This is an anecdotal story. Well, I'll share this with you. Carrie Mercer's children chased her up the basement stairs of their harem and home, racing past family photos on their way to watch TV in the bedroom that she shares with her husband, Josh. Looking around the home with kids giggling in the adjoining room, one would never know that the couple were on the verge of divorce 2 years ago. Carrie and Josh were never the stereotypical soon-to-be parting ways pair. Even after a decade of marriage, they rarely fought, but they worked together as a team. They held hands. But the one problem that existed below the surface of many marriages is intimacy. Mm. As the years went on, Carrie said, I honestly didn't care if I ever had sex again. No one had talked to her about sex before she and Josh had married. She just was expected to know how to navigate something incredibly complicated. The Mormon couple had tried counseling, but it wasn't successful. Carrie said the therapist put the onus on her to improve the couple's sex life, which only made her feel worse. Quote, I always thought it was my fault. I lived for years with the guilt that I can't make my husband happy, she said. But at the same time, I was like, I really don't care anymore because I'm tired. Then Josh called the healing group after hearing about it on the radio. Carrie credits the mental health center with saving their marriage. The healing group taught them how to better communicate their needs and be blatantly honest with each other. Carrie said it was eye-opening for both of us. So now it is founder Kristen Hodson, founder of the Healing Group, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, said that she has a lot of clients who struggle with this, so she offers an opportunity to openly discuss sexuality and intimacy without the presence of religion unless the client brings it up. Anyway, you can find online, just go, and I'll put a link to this at theculturalhall.com. I encourage you to go back and listen to the episode that we did with them. We get pretty honest and frank with it. But it's the Healing Group, if you want to Google that, or find it at thehealinggroup.com. She and her team of 11 therapists could be able to help you out if that's an issue for you in your marriage.
Good.
Right? It's a big deal. And I know one of the things that we talked about in the episode that we talked with them is that it's like, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. No sex, no sex, no sex. You're married. Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck.
People don't know how to do anything.
Right?
Not allowed to talk about things. Or even do things that are supposed to make you more aware of.
Right, too, yeah. Right. Yeah. And to talk about it beforehand, it's like, oh, that just makes me want to do it.
Yeah.
Right? That's the attitude that people sort of take.
Yeah, being in like the mid-singles scene, a lot of the time I find it's funny how people like don't even acknowledge that that's a part of marriage. You know, if you make a joke about like motivation for getting married, it's like, well, sex is motivating and that's not funny. It's
yeah.
Like, well, it well that is a joke, but it's also very, very
yeah. But it yeah, but it is part of it
in our culture, especially. So to pretend like that's not is just it's just you're in denial. So yeah, you have to acknowledge it. We're adults. There, it is a part of being married. It's part of being human.
Well, and one of the things that strikes me, even as I think about back on that interview that we had with them, is they talk about. God made your body so that you would feel pleasure. And I had never thought about that.
Yeah.
Like God made things to feel good.
Yeah.
Specifically, I'm going to build this way so that it can feel fantastic in appropriate settings, but it should feel fantastic. And anyway, I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Ordained women. We've had them here in the Cultural Hall before. They protested at the at this previous general conference.
Was it just a priesthood sash? Or?
Nope. About 36 women, people, it should say, there's men and women, most of them women, walked from City Creek Park to the church administration building. The walkers carried purple umbrellas, some with tags that bore the names of some of the 300 online supporters who could not attend Saturday's action. The umbrellas represented a metaphor taught by a former women's leader in the LDS church that one person, usually the father, carries an umbrella to benefit an entire family, and that male Mormons hold the priesthood for the blessing of all. Quote, "We have heavenly parents who love us and care about us, who believe that men and women are each capable of carrying their own umbrella," Jensen said. This is Deborah Jensen. She's also been here on the Cultural Hall before. "Who believe that men and women are equally capable of receiving direct revelations, who see us all as equal partners in sharing this gospel." During President Uchtdorf's morning talk, he spoke about that the fact that President Uchtdorf now has an email address, and Deborah Jensen says, "We intend to use it."
Well, good. Here's my take on the whole thing.
Yep.
I don't think it'd be the end of the world if women got the priesthood, but I think specifically men have it to give them a reason to be more active in the church. Because, I mean, at least as my experience in a missionary, it was always harder to convince men to join the church.
Right.
And so if you gave an equal purpose to women as well, like, I think a lot of men would just get a lot more passive about their role in the church, because a lot of them, it seems to me, are purposely trying to be more worthy, more active to provide an example for their family and to be able to provide those blessings that the priesthood provides and have their special roles, like setting up chairs or giving blessings, things like
that. Right.
And if women got involved, they'd be just as good as that at those things as men are. But I just figure that, like, a lot of men would be like, well, I don't need to go to church this week because, you know, there's women, that, you know, there's plenty of people to do those things and I don't need to be there.
Yeah, the counterpoint of that is that then, I mean, women that, who would want the priesthood would say, so the reason we don't have the priesthood is because men are lazy. Great.
Yeah, I would say that's probably part of it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't like the sound of that. I like to think that it's...
Yeah, there's men who aren't lazy, too. That's a total stereotype.
Right.
But I find that a lot of men find that they need a sense of duty, and that's sort of where the priesthood comes in. And I don't think women don't need that. I just think that's kind of why it was set up that way, you know, administratively anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple other stories, and then I just want to bail out of here. Do you have any more?
I just had some stuff about the Star Valley Temple, but you guys already talked about that, didn't you?
Yeah, we talked about it briefly. We'll hit it again here in a second. This, I thought, was sort of interesting. A couple Mormon FBI agents started attending Mormon church services in Burns back in January. Remember when that big wildlife refuge thing was going on?
Oh, yeah.
FBI agent Ben Jones, who is a Mormon, said he told his supervisors that if he goes to church, he was going to go as who I was. So he said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go, but I'm going to go as an FBI guy. I'm not going to try and be secretive or whatever.
Sure.
He says, was I there to investigate you? Partly, yes, Jones said, under questioning by defendant Ryan Bundy, who was at church that day. I was there to see if you were recruiting people. Jones said that he and another agent attended the service that day and identified themselves as Mormons and by name. Ryan Bundy, he noticed, was seated a few chairs away. They shook hands but didn't speak to each other. Neither of us were attempting to hide who we were. The agent was recently called back into court in Portland as defense lawyers and defendants began presenting their case in the federal conspiracy trial stemming from the 41-day occupation of the Eastern Oregon Refuge. So these guys just walked in and they were like, hey, you know what? We're going to church. This is who we are. Let's see what these guys are doing. They're recruiting anybody? Anyway, I think it's sort of a fascinating thing. See these guys, maybe guns. Did they take their guns to church?
Sure they did.
Church handbook would tell you you shouldn't take your gun.
No firearms.
Firearms. And you know what? I just realized the two stories that that I want to end on, they're both terrible.
Oh.
Do you want to be really angry to end this thing, or do you want...
What?
Yeah.
I'd say really, man. Let's go.
You want to end really angry? Okay, so we'll go here. More than a dozen leaked videos posted this last Sunday that show high-level LDS church leaders privately discussing hot-button issues ranging from politics to pot, the homosexual agenda to the housing crisis, marriage to morality, and Muslims to Kurds. Released anonymously on YouTube under the name, quote, Mormon Lakes. And on the final day of the Faith's Fall General Conference, many of the 15 videos appear to show presentations made to members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, the second highest governing body of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So here's a couple things that I noticed about this. One, most of them are from 2011, right? So they're 5 years old. So already,
sort of out of date.
To me, it seems a little bit out of date, right? Yeah. If you think about 5 years ago, the differences from then to now, right? The federal acceptance of gay marriage, that 2011.
Was not.
So anything about homosexuality from then to now, certainly no one is surprised that we aren't in favor of gay marriage as the church goes, mm-hmm. right? So that's not a surprise. But the whole landscape of the homosexual discussion within the church is completely different from 2011. And then there are other meetings where people essentially present to the Quorum of 12 Apostles, right? So former governor of the state of Utah, Mike Leavitt, presents in one, and all these different folks who for better or worse title, are essentially like specialists in various things, cybersecurity, religious freedom. They speak to them, and then you hear all of the apostles sort of talk around it. I'm trying to see if there was one or two things that were sort of interesting, I guess. Former Senator Gordon Smith, who was a Republican out of Oregon, he was a Mormon. He spoke to church leaders in 2009. That's one of the videos. Shortly after his term expired, saying that he regarded his LDS temple recommend as more important than an election certificate. Ralph Hardy, then an LDS authority who served in the Washington, D.C. area, introduces Smith and describes the senator's staff, who are not Mormon, as church broke. In fact, Hardy says not many months ago, Smith's legislative director called me on the phone and says, Ralph, you haven't called us in 6 weeks. What are we supposed to be doing? So certainly it shows some of the discussion between political leaders and also the church, which a lot of people go, I have a really big problem with that. Talks about morality and marijuana. Science and morality, those two words might go together, Elder Packer remarks, but science has got a lot to learn first. You've got to at least admit that there's something spiritual, he said. So you can see them all. It's 7.5 hours of videos.
Pretty boring. So.
Yeah. Dry.
He's going to.
Dry.
Yeah. I mean, sheesh, have you been to church lately?
Yeah. I mean, have you been to one of those Sunday morning meetings? I'll share this. This is from KSL, and Eric Hawkins, a spokesman of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He says, most of these videos appear to be briefings from senior church leaders from 2007 to 2012. The purpose, he said, is to understand issues that may face the church and is in the pursuit of the obligation church leaders feel to be informed and have open discussion about current issues. This is an informational forum, not a decision-making body that we see in the videos.
That's probably why they leaked, because they weren't well protected. You know?
Yeah, well, but it's also interesting that they were even taped. Like, it seems like pretty boring.
Did you hear how the person got them, too?
No, I didn't hear this part.
They think it was somebody from the inside, because they emailed them to the guy who posted them, and then he emailed them back, and the account was deleted.
So, really?
Yeah.
Sketchy.
Yeah. Conspiracy theories.
It'd be interesting to know who that person is.
Yeah.
One of the Gatty Antons. All right. So then this. A candidate. You know what? Let me just preface this, too, with what? How do I want to preface this? There are members of the church whom I don't care for.
Hmm.
There it is.
A few.
Well, this guy, for example.
All right.
He's a candidate for Utah State Senate. Mm-hmm. And he recently called a teen suicide victim a sinner and a murderer.
And this is on an online forum.
Yep. Did it on Facebook. Jason Christensen, who is obviously, as you know by his last name, a Mormon and a member of the Independent American Party, also a candidate for Utah State Senate District 16, which is Utah County and Wasatch County.
Probably a Christian, too.
Made comments on a Facebook post that grieved the reported death of a 19-year-old gay man who recently took his life. So someone was like, posting on their page, hey, you know what, we're grieving the loss right now of our friend who was gay, who took his own life. Jason Christensen wrote, quote, yes, this is sad, and hopefully God will have mercy on both the sins that this boy committed, the sins of homosexuality and the sins of murder.
Yikes.
Wrote Christensen on Facebook. The comment immediately drew criticism from other users who called Christensen disrespectful, which that is.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly.
But the candidate, Jason, doubled down and defended his categorization of this suicide victim as a murderer. Quote, when you take a life, what do you call it? It's still murder, Christensen said.
How old is this guy, by the way?
He's mid-30s to 40s, probably.
That's something your grandparents would say, you know? It's like,
right, yeah, like it's a little like timey, yeah. For sure. But he goes on to say, quote, read the scriptures. Stop denying the scriptures. I do feel bad for him and his sins. But one must recognize what sins, what is sin and what is not sin. One must live the gospel of Jesus Christ and not the gospel of the devil.
Oh, my goodness.
The original Facebook post references an online obituary for a 19-year-old man from Davis County. That's a county here in the state of Utah. The obituary does not mention how the teen died or anything regarding sexual orientation. Identifying information, if you go to theculturalhall.com, has been blurred. But you can see, if you go to theculturalhall.com, his comments about it. Christensen says that he was inspired, according to his own website, to run for political office after reading a book written by Ezra Taft Benson, who is the prophet of Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In response to Christensen's comments, Senator Kurt Bramble, whom he's running against, posted on the Facebook thread supporting the family of the suicide victim's family. It says, one of the great tragedies of our time. So this is also a member of the church, Kurt Bramble. One of the great tragedies of our time is the loss of life of our youth, Bramble said. Finding ways to effectively combat and reduce suicides will be a priority during the next legislative session. Christensen ran unsuccessfully against Provo Mayor John Curtis in 2013. He also ran for the Utah House of Representatives and Provo City Council in 2015 and lost both of those.
Yeah.
So here, you know, don't.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially in a time of grieving, you don't say stuff like that.
Yeah.
You just say, if you don't agree, it's just like, that's your right, but it's like, you don't say that.
Right.
Especially as a public figure.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, of all places.
And it's a total dick move.
Yeah.
You know?
Dick move. It's like, man, we're living in the 90s, man. Come on. Things changed.
It just is one of those things that I don't understand.
Yeah.
And I it's hard for me, too, because I go, so that guy and I, we go to the same church.
Yeah. No, right. It's true. It's a big, I mean, you know, when they're talking about people leaving the church, I struggle with cultural things like that. Like, I believe in the church. There's the good things it's brought, but I don't identify with some of the cultural things of the church.
And yep.
That makes me want to push away when people say stuff like that. It's like, do you not know any gay people?
Yeah.
Have anyone in your life, family or otherwise, that's gay that you think you would feel comfortable saying that kind of thing around?
Yeah.
Oh, except for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
well, not that. I mean, no, I didn't. Because I,
suicide.
I mean.
You're stable. And you're not sinning because you're not acting on it, as far as I know.
Like, right. All of those things that are just.
You would never act on.
So alienating.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. And it makes our public perception look really bad because those are the kind of things that people hear outside with, you know, without the church, you know, that they focus on. Like, we're in some dark ages of way of thinking. That's what I mean when he says it's murder. That sounds like something you seriously would hear,
years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Like, suicide is a sin and your kid's going to hell because he committed suicide. Oh, that's a big comfort to the family.
Yeah, way to go, pal.
A religious family.
That really comforting gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's make sure we condemn him to where...
Yeah, to...
Anyway. So that's it. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body in some way.
We hope that you will show more tact in addressing the hardships of your daily lives and bless the sugar that it will nourish and strengthen our bodies.
And that you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row.
Of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row.